Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, everyone. Carla G here. I'm going to alert you all that for the moment there's a temporary glitch in the program. And what I want to do is ask you all to please stand by. I'm going to go silent for a few moments and see if I can correct it. There's always something spectacular that happens at the beginning of these shows here on Blog Talk Radio, but we love it. I actually do love the opportunity to do this. You guys go ahead and make that last-minute bathroom run or finish popping the popcorn, because I know you were doing that just before tuning in. And hopefully it actually you know what? Never mind. I don't have to do that. We're going to just it's been corrected, more or less. And there we are. Folks, we have Dr. Tahuti joining us. Hi, Dr. Tahuti.
Hey.
a little bit of nerve-wracking drama there, huh?
Yeah, your British girl there kept hanging up on me.
I'll speak to her. She's rude, you know. I don't want to blame it on all British people, but she has displayed some rude characteristics. And
yep, her, Simon Cowell, all them people, they're rude as hell.
I'm going to have to talk to her. But no, I actually was going to try another option. You worked it well. That's fine. I have discovered something else that works in this case, which I didn't think of it sooner. But anyway, the listeners don't need to know that. You're here, and I do appreciate your circumventing and navigational fortitude, whatever that means.
All right.
Also, I'm just putting some words together. You know who did that? I think in Living Color, they had the skit with David Wayans and Dale. Yeah, exactly. And he was just throwing words together that made no sense whatsoever. But he was very serious. He was very serious about his message. So that would be me. But actually, I do want to alert listeners, live and podcast listeners, who may have been reading that we were going to be talking about actors and athletes' salaries and if they're being overpaid and what everybody thinks about that. That was the plan for this week due to other circumstances. You know, we had to change that up. I also had made the announcement on the previous show that you and I would not be talking this week for this show, but that we would be picking it up next week. So the programming alert is that Dr. Tahuti and I will be concluding the Hoodlums series and how to stop manufacturing them. That will be concluded right here, right now. And for the next broadcast, which in real time will air on August 16th, 2009, we will then be talking, we being myself, Dr. Tahuti, I believe you're going to try and join us. Rich Byers comes back, and everybody's favorite, the ABW, returns. Possibly David Claxton, and also possibly Alexander James. So I'm certainly looking forward to that, and hopefully you are, and hopefully everybody will tune back in to participate in that and call in live with your opinions. So what we're going to do, like I said, is conclude the series here, which is, really, we've been offering 6 urban survival laws. Also, I thought that was going to – initially I had planned that to go for 6 weeks, but we don't need to do it that way. And here we are on points number 4, 5, and 6. So just jumping right into it, urban survival – I'm sorry. I'm about to do something I don't want to do. Let's review. we'll be starting at number 4. But to begin, the urban survival law number 1, the most important one, is the definition. And that is that true survival means that you're promoting your life, you're promoting your freedom, and you are also promoting your future economic opportunity. And all of that basically means you need to stay your butt out of jail. Urban survival law number 2 It's not only what you know or who you know, it's who you know and who likes you. This was an opportunity for us to include the Henry Louis Gates episode, and we were saying that, for example, he happens to know the president, or the president happens to know him and likes him, him being Henry Louis Gates, who was arrested in his home for supposedly disorderly conduct, charges dismissed or dropped. But, you know, it's just a good idea to know other people. They can help you. They can help you stay out of jail. Urban law number three has an A and a B, or a one and a two, or two parts. First part is stamp out disrespect and infinite drama. I think we all know what that means. And, of course, the only way to stop it and stamp it out is to never start it. Disrespect. You know, somebody looks at you the wrong way. Maybe don't even interpret that as being disrespected. You know, what is the wrong way of looking at you? Somebody maybe does disrespect you in a grocery store or something. You know, to avoid the infinite drama aspect of it, you don't need to ask them what are they looking at and, you know, walk up to them and slap them. Part B of that is anger, fear, and pain. We want to stamp that out, which means that we must learn to control our emotions. So how that connects to what I was just saying was, you know, stop interpreting a happenstance glance as being disrespectful. Stop interpreting an item falling by your foot as somebody intentionally throwing it at you. You know, don't go there with that. Don't just immediately fly off the handle. And so that's our quick review. So here we are, starting with number four. This one I like. I really like this one. Learn two new skills and one new habit every 30 days. Okay, I'm done with that one. Just, I'll repeat it. Learn two new skills. I mean, we're making it simple. Just two. It doesn't have to be limited to two. Or maybe there is some science in that. I'll take that back. You know, maybe more than two is too much. But learn two new skills and one new habit every 30 days. You want to add to that, Dr. Tahuti?
Well, yeah, we call that the 2-1-30 rule. And what you end up with is 24 new skills and 12 new habits every year if you follow this law. But what we find with our young people is that more of them know how to dribble a basketball than know how to tie a necktie.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, this is serious. It's okay to know how to dribble a ball. That's, it's a good thing. You know, always enjoy, basketball. But when it's time to go to an interview, you need to know how to tie that tie so you can get a job and put some money in your pocket. The overwhelming element of this model is to try and get us out of poverty. The idea of us going to jail and to the graveyard, of course, is key. But more of us live in poverty than end up in jail and in the morgue drawer.
Right, and that poverty is a cycle, you know. So if we're learning new skills and new habits, we're hopefully learning how to stop that cycle.
That's right. So again, we're talking about two new positive skills and positive habits. So we don't want you, when our young people learn how to, roll a spliff, it's not one of the skills that we want them to be developing. We want them, developing positive skills that are going to, impact their future economic opportunities.
And so what if I say to you, what could I say to you? Well, let's say I'm 18 years old and I've graduated from high school and I'm hearing this program. Maybe I might think that means you're telling me to go to college to learn this new skill. And I say, well, man, you know, I am in poverty right now. I want to help myself, but I am in poverty right now. I can't go to college. What you want me to do, man? What are you going to tell me?
Well, you know, well, first of all, I would tell you, you know, to understand what you're saying, first of all. You know, not everyone needs to go to college, but if you think that that's something that that you would could do, we strongly urge our young people to do that, because the difference between the amount of money that you make as a high school graduate and the amount of money that you would make as a college graduate is significant. It is significant. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a lifetime between a high school grad and a college grad. So you have to really understand when you make a statement like that what you're saying. You're saying that I'm possibly willing to give up the possibility of earning, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars more money than I might. But that doesn't mean that you're lost if you only have a high school diploma. But you have to be more vigilant under those circumstances. You need to have a trade. You need to develop something that is marketable that's going to allow you to improve your future economic opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Marketable these days being something like, you know, just know how to operate a computer. For example, I mean, that might sound obvious to a lot of people, but I was the other day I met a woman. Well, I see her often while I'm running around the track, and we got into a conversation. She looked to be in her 40s, I'll say. She had just been laid off from a job that she'd had for, she said, 14 and a half years. And she had been working, I guess, say, at a nursing home, and she was in food service, custodial work, that type of thing. And, you know, somebody has to do that. That's not a bad thing. She's raised a family off of that. I think she mentioned that she has at least two children, so that's good. But she was also saying that she was only being paid the minimum wage, and which just recently went up. I guess it went up after the time that she had gotten fired. But still, that's less than $10 an hour. And I think it's less than $10 an hour. The federal minimum is, so certainly minimum less than that. Anyway, she was then mentioning, I was just suggesting some of the places where she could go and do that same work, you know, just trying to help her out or say something reasonably positive. And she said that she didn't know how to operate a computer. And I actually was very surprised. I tried not to act surprised, but I was very surprised. I said, well, you know, you don't need to know how to turn it on these days, because pretty much wherever you go, it's already turned on. They stay on these days. And I said, it's like a typewriter, you know, for what you're probably going to do. You know how to type, right? She said, yeah. But she was making up all kinds of excuses for or reasons for not really wanting to learn how to use a computer. And so I'm simply saying that you don't want to be that person. You know, if you are somebody listening to this right now and you happen not to know how to use a computer, then make that one of the new skills that you learn in the next 30 days. You can go to Hyper-A
and
do that.
And just to add to that, that does not mean that you're adept at playing Madden. It doesn't mean that you're playing Madden.
Oh, mm-hmm. You're right. You're right.
Okay.
We don't mean that.
You know, I meet a lot of people, and I've even heard parents extol the skills of their children about how much they know about computers, and when I probe a little deeper, what their children know how to do is play video games. That's not a marketable skill.
Right.
You need to know things about the computer that other people would find valuable. And so that means, you know, venturing into areas that most young people are not involved in. Not, you know, some of them are, you know,
clearly, right.
You know, if you know Photoshop and some of these other graphic programs, that's a good thing, and those are marketable skills. But If you spend most of your time on the computer, playing games or on Facebook and MySpace, you need to go a little further than that.
Right. And another sample of skills, you know, like we were just the example I used earlier, you know, maybe you're not going to be able to go to school, but if you have at least stayed in school and learned how to read, you can always go to the free public library and read a book, which can also teach you a skill. You know, there are ways to learn something if you're feeling that you can't afford the proper schooling or the so-called proper schooling. You know, meet somebody and ask them to teach you something that maybe you like to do, you know, carpentry work or anything other than, yeah, playing a game on a computer. We don't mean those type of skills. And really, maybe again, if somebody doesn't really know exactly what a skill is, we're saying that it is a trade, I guess, or a technique, you know, proficiency at something, a skill, a special ability to with something that you know how to do very well, and a habit. Well, I think they've said that a habit is something, it can be formed in 21 days or 3 weeks, or which is 21 days. What do we mean by that? Because we don't mean, you know, start smoking. We don't mean that. That's a habit that people get into. You know, give us an example of a new habit that comes to mind for you.
Well, reading a book. I'm getting in the habit of reading a chapter out of a book every couple of days. Pick up a book and read it. Turn the television off.
Exactly.
Going to the library maybe is an appropriate habit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually taking care of yourself physically would be an appropriate habit to have. You know, working out, keeping yourself physically in shape. This is a society that doesn't value those things. It's important to keep people sick in the society because being sick is a business. It's interesting to note that in countries like Japan, doctors get paid when people get well. A novel idea.
How about that? Very interesting.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that on another installment of I'm Just Saying, I did a couple of days ago, the guest was a man who's doing extremely well, which is an understatement, in real estate. He's a black fella. And he said, you know, just read a book, read something, learn how to just read about 15 pages a night. Maybe 15 is too many for some people. Read one page a night, for crying out loud. Just pick up a book, people. There is a lot to be gained in knowledge. But okay, you had something else to add to that, because I was going to say I think we got that one drilled in, so we can go to 4 or 5. Okay. People, places, and things should never lead you to danger. That's point number 5, urban survival law number 5. And I think that is directly related to urban survival law number 1, which again means you're promoting your life, your freedom, and your future economic opportunity. You know, when I hear this leading to danger part, I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is I'm not going to be standing outdoors on the corner where there's the potential drive-bys and the potential drug deals and the potential anything else that the street offers. Because I'll either not have my freedom or I won't have my life. So, mm-hmm. Again, that to me, that's so clear. I don't really know what else we can say to expand on it. But I'll repeat it. People, places, and things should never lead you to danger. What do you have for that one? What are kids doing or the youth doing that lead them to danger?
Well, ultimately, what we're saying here is that a true friend never leads you to danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a code for our youth to negotiate social relationships and choose people as their friends who are going to keep them alive and free. You know, it's, like you said, it's pretty straightforward, but it's a difficult thing because everybody or a lot of people have, you know, that one friend or those group of friends who they know are engaged in things that definitely do not promote life and freedom. And so it takes a great deal of strength to say, you know, no, I'm not going to really associate with that crowd. And I kind of learned that lesson myself when I, after my first year in college, I had come home from school and I saw a group of, you know, cats that I was, had gone to school with, you know, high school, elementary school, and, you know, they were, had always been really involved in nefarious types of activities, but they were still, you know, what you would loosely term friends. We would, you know, play basketball together, we would play football together, we would hang out and talk, even though I was not in that crowd in terms of what they were involved in. But anyway, I'd come home and say, hey, you know, Roger, I haven't seen you in a long time, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you come by the pool hall? So I came by the pool hall. We talked a little bit. I told them I was away at school. That's why they hadn't seen me. And, you know, I knew enough to say, you know, all right, I got to go, man. You know, so I broke out. Good to see you. I'll be home for the summer. And I'm out. And as I'm walking home, I see this car driving, like, the wrong way down the street. I'm like, what's going on here? The car comes up on the curb, door flies open. It's my boy from the pool hall. You need to get in the car because these other cats thought that you were my new connect and we were getting ready to, you know, whatever. He said, I got to get in the car.
Right.
So I jump in the car, and then, you know, he explains this whole thing to me that, you know, I was mistaken for, you know, their new connection and blah, 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 and somebody was going to step to me and da, 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 da. And so then I realized, you know, these are cats that I could only be associated with from a distance. And I kept it that way from that point on. I would see them as I was walking by, yo, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Good to see you. All right. Stay up now. And I kept keep it moving. But, you know, like you said, we're not going to stand on the corner together. Because I don't know who you done did wrong or who's after you and thinks now I'm with you. And, nah, it can't go down like that.
Right. So, yeah, so when your boy, you know, or your girl, you're regarding them as your boy, your friend, even though they may be saying to you, I got your back, which is something you want your friend to say, if the scenario in which they have your back is something just short of war, well, you don't really, that's not your friend, you know, not your friend. If they've got your back while they watch you go and shoot somebody in a drive-by, that's not your friend because that's just led you to danger, and that directly leads you to jail without your get-out-of-jail-free card, you know. You lose your freedom, folks. So, okay. All right. And just as a note to my listeners, you are indeed listening to I'm Just Saying. I'm Carla G. Joining me today is Dr. Tahuti. We are concluding our series, The Hoodlums, How to Stop Manufacturing Them. And we've been discussing 6 urban survival laws, which, in fact, should be accredited to Edward de Jesus. And I actually have put a copy of a book that I believe is part of this program up on the webpage on blogtalkradio.com/I'mJustSaying. And so now we're reaching point number six, urban survival law number six, which is don't let anyone mess with your money. And I've got to be honest with you, Dr. Tahuti, I'm not sure that I quite understand this. I mean, I get it, but maybe not in the way that it should be gotten. So I'm going to let you go ahead and explain it for us without me asking any questions about it.
Well, it's something that most anyone would understand. But like you said, understanding it in the way that it's meant is a different issue. Like most, no one will let anyone mess with their money. And in fact, we do this little skit where, you know, we have like all, you know, our youth in the room. We're doing what we call a making it day. And I'll pick like the meanest, biggest, you know, grillinest cat in the room and call him up to the front and say, you know, yo, man, give me what's in your pocket, man. Run it. I want everything you've got. Give me them sneakers, the money in your pocket. And, of course, he's like, man, you must be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You must be crazy.
mm-hmm.
You know, they're not giving up their money. But at the same time, if I were to step to the same brother under a different circumstance and say, yo, forget school, man. That's for birds, man. Come on, we ain't with that. We out here making this real money out here, man. He might be with that. And I just mess with his money for real right there. Because on any given day, he might have, what, $20, $30, $40, $50 in his pocket, but he would never let me have that. He would never let me take that from him. But he would allow me to lead him to a point where he might drop out of school, end up not with a high school diploma, which I have just cost him hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, if we're really gangster about not letting people mess with our money, then we got to really know what it means to have money. Because, again, we could go back and examine. Now, there are very few, if any, and most of us cannot point to any, retired, wealthy scramblers and drug dealers. You know, people that are out there doing these things to get that fast money. We call it fast money disease. You know, they don't end up retiring to, you know, half a million, you know, $750,000 houses and chill for the rest of their lives. It doesn't go down like that. You know, so while you might make some quick money over the short run, in the long run, the person who goes to school, gets an education, and gets a good job, gets a good trade, is going to out-earn these fast money cats in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
in other words, yeah, in other words, we can interchange the word money with the word life. We're back to that again. You know, your life. Money means asset, and your life is an asset. It has wealth. Value. So we're basically saying when the law says don't let anyone mess with your money, we're saying don't let anyone more or less mess with your life.
Yeah, I mean it's real. It's not everyone. I don't want to, you know, lead kids to youth into thinking that everybody that's involved with illegal activity goes to jail. Not everyone does.
Right.
But the point is that you're not going to get out of poverty that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might get some quick money in your pocket, but in the long run, you come out of that either mentally. You know, some people just get to the point where, look, you know, I know this is not for me. I've seen too many others go to jail. I've seen too many others lose their lives. I got to give this up. And so maybe personally they may not have gone to jail themselves, but then they're at a point where, you know, I have been involved in this so long. Now what can I do? What skills do I have? I haven't developed two new skills, one new habit every 30 days. I've been involved in negative nonsense for the past, you know, 10, 15 years. So now I'm only qualified to work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in a situation now where I have to start at the very bottom of the rung, and I have to run five times as fast to try to catch up, and eventually, you know, it becomes clear that I can't catch up. And so I have made the choice that has me in a situation where I'm in poverty, where I'm from one menial job to the next. Whereas if I had spent that last 10 years gaining a skill, a marketable skill that people would pay me for, that would not have me locked up doing so, then I could have earned who knows how much money over the course of that 15 years and then beyond.
Right. And I'm going to throw this in there, too. We're saying there are not necessarily guarantees. Not necessarily. There are no guarantees that learning the skill will get you the job, and or once you have the job, there's nothing to guarantee that you won't be laid off, particularly in these times. But knowing the skill and just having knowledge, period. Maybe you've learned some business skills. If you happen to be laid off, you can think your way through to another solution. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that thinking to me is just a magnificent activity. I say that with a chuckle, and this is a serious show. It's a serious topic, but thinking is just powerful, and that's always my message. It's like, just think, people. Everybody just needs to think, and if you have gained abilities to read, you can, I believe, assist yourself with deductive reasoning when you need it, you know, in a non-criminal way. So I just want to throw that in there.
I want to say, you know, at this juncture, I'm not speaking for Ed DeJesus or YDRF. In fact, in the presenting of these laws, I'm giving them as he has laid them out. But what I'm going to say now is not Ed DeJesus. This is Dr. Tahuti talking.
Okay.
So the six urban survival laws is the equivalent of a action that we might take to stop a hemorrhage. Okay, we are hemorrhaging out here in these streets. Our youth are going to the joint and to the graveyard in numbers that are just absolutely ridiculous, and we need to stop it. We need to stop it. There's over 2 million people locked up in this country, and far too many of them are Black and Latino. We know that is a factor of racism, but it is also a factor that we have bought into a trap that has been laid down for us, and we can't seem to avoid that trap. And the six urban survival laws is a way for us to avoid the trap. So what I'm saying is, it's not necessarily a long-term solution, because, as you said, you have the economy to think about. And the economy in a capitalist society is designed to keep a large percentage of us out of work, unemployed, to devalue labor.
Mm-hmm.
So we also got to be clear about these things when we talk to our youth, because we don't want to sell them pipe dreams. We got to be real with them, because on many, many levels, they understand these things. They understand the economy that is confronting us. But at the same time, part of the long-term solution can be us doing things that promote our future economic opportunity as a community, which means too much money. And we can look at the statistics. This is a possible show down the road that we need to talk about, is that the amount of money that our people spend on absolute frivolity, absolute nonsense, and that we buy with people who don't look anything like us. The money that we earn goes right back out of our community within a heartbeat's time. Unlike other communities who have the wherewithal to keep the money that they earn amongst themselves, then we wouldn't have to worry about going to get a job from somebody else. We could give one another a job. But that's right. Part of the long-term thing that we need to address. But in the short term, all of that is not even worth discussing if our children, who are our future, are finding their way out in ways that lead them to death and incarceration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, too, again, you know, you have said numerous times while we've been talking about this that you believe that youth listen better to other youth, and you know that better than I do. But I still say, you know, as I pointed out also a couple of shows back, that scientists have, I'm going to say rediscovered, because they know they knew this before, and we all knew this, that a baby, an unborn baby in the mother's womb, W-O-M-B, is aware of its environment. It is aware of what is happening outside, outside in the mother's life. And so I'm saying that this message, we're speaking also to adults, because the adults need to stop. I guess that what the adults bring by the time they are adults is, I'm going to say, infinite drama, which is survival law number 3. Adults are the ones who are, you know, get into these instigating, he said, she said nonsense. And then the children do see that, or the children do hear that. And, you know, any unborn baby just may become acclimated to the harsh negative sounds that goes on in a life being lived with infinite drama and disrespect and anger and pain and fear. The unborn baby is absorbing this. So when it is born, it's easy to see how it you know, he or she is unable to discern the correct path, or a path away from that.
And it's another form of addiction. My sister, Dr. Joy DeGroy, breaks this down very, very nicely about how the drama element creates this addiction to the cortisol that is released when we're in that agitated state. And you have these youth who are in life situations that are constantly creating this agitated state. And so whenever you're around them, whenever they're around you, there's always this constant, you know, like it just is never quiet. Like they're
right.
Everything
right.
becomes like a point of argument. You know, their voices are raised, you know, rah, 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 rah. It's just continual, and it's without end. And that's because
right.
they have this addiction to that cortisol. You have people who just can't stand a moment of silence. Like they have to have the
right.
radio playing, you know, 24/7. Even when they go to sleep, the radio has to be on. The TV has to be on. They can't stand a moment of silence because they are addicted to this constant, you know, agitated state that
right.
they actually seek it out. They actually
right.
seek it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I And that, of course, I believe directly affects, well, it is stress, and that leads us to the high blood pressure issues that is just rampant throughout our community. So it's all related. That's what people also need to realize, people, but, you know, youth, everybody. Everything we do has a ripple effect, you know. So we just need to be paying attention to what we're doing. And this has been fun. For me, it's been fun. It's been enlightening. And, yes, that means that we're pretty much near the end of our time here. So I want to we do have a few more minutes, though, and I was just going to say I'll run past through the laws again, and if you want to have a final word on each one, be my guest or not. So I'm going to go backwards, actually. I think I'm going to mix it up and go backwards. So urban survival law number 6, don't let anyone mess with your money, which you said, Dr. Tahuti, really means, well, I said it, but you can say it. Well, I was saying it meant your life. I was saying that we could, you know, substitute a word and say it means don't mess with your life. But
well, yeah, you could put it that way. But in essence, we're talking about doing things that promote your future economic opportunity that's going to get you out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And what those real things are, and understanding that criminality is not among them. That's not going to get you out of poverty. It's a trap.
Okay. And also just making clear that we're not saying or we're not limiting it to the green cash money. When we say don't let anyone mess with your money, it's not limited to green cash money. It's including the money potential that you can make. Is what we're saying.
Okay.
Urban survival law number 5: people, places, and things should never lead you to danger. It probably isn't a good idea to go backwards, but I'm going to continue going backwards. Two new skills: learn 2 new skills and 1 new habit every 30 days. Control our emotions. That's meaning stamp out the anger, the fear, and the pain. Don't start drama. Don't be a disrespectful person. Do not seek infinite drama. Just come on. And
And understand what respect means. The word respect means to look again. Spect means to look, to examine. Re means again, to look again, to give somebody a second chance. You know, that really is the essence of what respect is, not all this other, you know, earned regard and all these other types of definitions. Nah, that's not what respect is. Everybody deserves that opportunity to be given a second look, a second opportunity to show who they really are. Don't be so quick to judge one another, people.
Exactly. All right, and it's not only what you know or who you know, it's who you know and who likes you. Seek out people that can help you, and you're likely to find those people if you are respecting people. You know, this running around jacking up people is not going to get you people in high positions who like you. And again, the number 1 survival law is that true survival means promoting your life, your freedom, and your future economic opportunity.
Indeed.
Opportunity. Okay. Well, I hope this has been enlightening for people. I'm sure even if we've touched just 1 life, as I was saying a few moments ago, that 1 life, we never know, or there will be a ripple effect from that. So I think we've done a good deed here. And thank you, Dr. Tahuti, for your wisdom and your powerful words. And your enlightening thoughts and comments. Certainly glad that you like me and like to come on the show and talk.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure thing, sure thing. All right, so again, now we're just going to reiterate for next week. We're going to switch back up and go to talking about actors and athletes and their salaries. Are they being overpaid? Also, I just want to make a comment that we did actually have a couple of callers, and we just kind of wanted to get these thoughts out there. So I don't want anybody's feelings to be hurt if we didn't take a phone call. I do appreciate that you all have called in. And hopefully you'll come back to next week's show and future shows and participate and offer your comments then. Anyway, Dr. Tahuti, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next show. And to everybody else, you all take care.
Respect.